The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Faster May, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12. A man in line's on between now and 1 o'clock. Your chance to have your say. Text, email, call or WhatsApp. Yesterday, Deputy Chief Exec Sam McCauley and the Minister Jane Paul Wilson MHK talked about Home Affairs. So much to talk to. We had lots and lots of questions we didn't get to, so they'll spill over to next time. But if you've got any follow-up on what Jane Paul Wilson and Sam McCauley had to say yesterday, then by all means, get in touch. Have you been having trouble with your spark plugs, by the way? Have you had any trouble? I've got a tale about trouble with spark plugs, and is it anything to do with the petrol, I wonder? That to come later. First of all, David's with us on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Andy, I just want to bring to the attention the people who may have missed the courier, but last Thursday, I get it on a Friday, actually, the courier came in, and on the front of the paper there, there's this scheme from the DOI, our famous DOI there now, to put boulders all the way down the seafront to stop the energy of the sea coming over. And they have what I would call a bunker wall running around it. It doesn't say how high it is, but it looks at least a couple of metres high running around. And I just wondered, on a Victorian promenade, and I was listening to Charles Gard on Sunday with Chris Thomas on as well. What I wasn't enthralled about was Mr. Thomas not giving us an assurance that the tram was going to run to the sea terminal when questions, direct questions from Charles Gard saying, is it going to run? Is the finance there? He waffled quite a bit. You can listen to it on podcast again. But my reassurance is when I was last in Timwell there, several times members voted for the funding to go to the sea terminal on a single track. But he seems to be taking the promenade to a different way. And I just wondered how we're going to protect this Victorian facade and keep it as a natural walkway without looking over the railings there to see boulders all over the place.
Well, I think the initial project is from Summerland to Summer Hill, they're saying, because that part of the seawall gets an absolute bashing, doesn't it? And they're trying to stop the overtopping at the far end of Douglas Promenade. But you wonder if they go from Summerland to Summer Hill, how much further down they're going to take it.
Well, yeah, you look at the photograph, the photo montage of this thing goes a little bit further than that. It looks as though it's further than that. But it would have to be, hopefully, to a planning application, and actually it'll be drawn in. And I know this at the sea terminal, and I don't know whether it's online or on DOI. I haven't actually had a look to see if it's actually there too. But I just wondered, can they not think out of the box a little bit better than that? If it's sea protection, can we not put some turbines in the sea to pick up the energy that's running in? I remember talking to you sometime about when they did the stuff at the airport, and the Swedish firm or whatever, Danish firm that did it, they put like a finger. If you put your finger on a piece of paper, they put rocks in to take the energy power out of it and reduce it coming in. And can you imagine what it's going to be like in the summer? Down there, I'm just amazed at, and I just wonder what people think. We see these things coming, and you think to yourself, this will never happen. But I do wonder about this particular one.
The fact that, remember, we have had this, you know, the interminable promenade redo, you know, doing the promenade up. You would have thought that while we were doing the promenade up, somebody would have thought, what about the seawall at the same time?
Well, I'm sure Peter Cannon at the time did. There was a few little hits about it, including it in. There must be some reports, and I just wonder what the engineers or consultants, and whether we like them or not, we have to have them because they're the experts, is what other alternatives was to have.
And we've still had no response, really, as to whether the groins are ever coming back onto Douglas Beach as it continues to drift over towards the palace. And of course, the beach is now about the level of the pavement by the Palace Hotel.
Yeah, but it isn't at the Summerland end. It's at least 12 foot deep from the top of the walkway to the bottom. That's the deepest bit on it. And I just wonder, have we never thought about taking the shingle away, the stone away? Because it will be clean stuff, which can be recycled or reused in other schemes. We're not thinking out of the box, but this one is. It'll be just like, and I'm sorry to label it, if you look at Guernsey, go down to Guernsey and have a look at what that beach used to look like and what it is now.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that, David. Thanks for calling.
See you, boy.
Okay, if you haven't yet seen that story, then go to the free sheet, the weekly free sheet, the Isle of Man Courier. A fine story by Gemma Nettle, I think it is, on the front page, with a photo montage, of a photo impression of what the rock defences may look like. Now, they say it's going to be placed on the shore between Summerland and Summerhill, to protect the highway and to reduce overtopping and reduce the risk of flood, because the far end of Douglas Promenade absolutely cops it, that Summerland end of... but, of course, there's nothing in Summerland to ruin, because it's just a brownfield site. So rocks to protect the promenade. No word on the groins, those groins that were there for years and years and years that protected from the drift of the beach across, but no, they're not there. So if you've got any thoughts on that and Douglas Promenade in itself, as yet, I think, have they started mending the sunken gardens? I think I did spot somebody there last week. So the sunken gardens, perhaps, and perhaps the playground, the children's playground, may be reinstated. Who knows, they may even fill the fountains up. Well, a note in just to say, I want to ask if anybody else has had issues with spark plugs on their vehicle or with their petrol lately. Over the past couple of weeks, I noticed, says the correspondent, I lost some acceleration and power in my vehicle, and it was kangarooing randomly with a big reduction in MPG being used as shown on the dashboard. My car's only 2 years old and fully up to date on servicing, so I phoned the car dealer where it was purchased from, who almost immediately said they'd had a number of vehicles that have had the problem being brought in, and I believe, although I can't prove, that the issue is with fuel. I took the vehicle to them, they checked it, replaced the spark plugs free of charge, which I was very grateful for, and that's fixed the problem. They said that the issue was exactly what they'd expected to be. The car, the spark plugs were covered in a red sludge and spots, and while I was in there, I was asked to fill in a form with all sorts of details, including where I get my petrol from. Well, I didn't want to name the brand and the garage where I always purchased my petrol from. But if there is a problem, it would be interesting to know if anybody else has this issue. I'll probably purchase my petrol from somewhere else now, but just want to put this out in case there's a problem seemingly under the radar. I use Super Unleaded. So if anybody else has had a problem with their spark plugs recently, or if you've got spotty spark plugs covered in red sludge, then by all means get in touch. But if that has gone under the radar, we very firmly put it on the radar. If you weren't listening at the weekend, the programme that David was referring to was Perspective on Sunday, where Phil Gorm was talking to Charles Gard and Stu Peters and Chris Thomas about built heritage and heritage in general, and talking at one point specifically about heritage rail and what is going to happen to it in the future, whether next year's timetable will be as full and extensive as this year's timetable, and the electric railway will go from Douglas to Ramsey. The mountain railway will go from Laxey to the top of Snae Fell, and the steam railway will go from Douglas straight through to Port Erin. Nothing has been confirmed, and I'm not setting any hairs running, but I am aware of various rumours going around, and Mr. Thomas, it has to be said, did not say anything categoric on Sunday. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Just a quick one. Talking about the rocks that are talking about putting to attenuate the waves out at Douglas, and obviously I'm familiar with the one at Ganzi as well, which looks, I mean, to be honest, it looks horrible even now. It's all covered in all kinds of stuff at times, and it was much more beautiful in the old days. An interesting one, there's been some investigations on the coast of Virginia by a couple of scientists called Hansen and Reidenbach, and they found in the areas where seagrasses were put, there was a 25 to 49% reduction or attenuation in wave heights. So rather than sticking mechanical turbines in or nasty, horrible rocks, what about putting and encouraging growth of seagrasses in the right area where you'll attenuate it most, you know, sort of a bit out to sea, but, and of course you'd encourage marine life as well, I'm sure.
Is there any grass in Douglas, underneath the sea in Douglas Bay? I'm trying to remember.
It's a good question, but there's plenty of seagrasses around the UK, so it's not like it would be importing indigenous, non-indigenous species. It just may be that, you know, just over time it's not here, but it's, in some ways, I would have thought it would be more environmentally friendly than either sticking plastic and concrete turbines or concrete rocks in the sea.
Well, there's another one for thinking outside the box, Julian.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Bye-bye now. If you haven't heard already, there's that emergency road closure in Mackall between Hibernia and Ramsey, so all service 3 bus journeys will operate via the mountain road between Onchan and Ramsey. So do be aware of that if you weren't already. What's happening with the information on the diversion at Quarterbridge? I need to get to Nobles from the south this afternoon. Well, this is the story. This is what's happening at Quarterbridge. The restriction by Quarterbridge is on. A one-way system is in place at the entrance to the Newcastle Town Road at Quarterbridge roundabout. The route's now one way heading into Douglas between the NSC and Quarterbridge. The restriction's in place until the 27th of this month, while equipment's installed on behalf of Manx Telecom. And there are diversions signposted, and yes, there was a bit of a tailback. So just be aware of that. One-way system in place at the entrance to Newcastle Town Road at Quarterbridge. So going out of Douglas that way, the route's now one-way heading into Douglas between the NSC and Quarterbridge, and it's on until the 27th of November. Hasn't anybody thought to lower the level of the sand and shingle on Douglas Beach before wasting millions yet again? As for investing in the film industry, didn't the government lose $26 million that never got accounted for from years back? Well, Francis Frank Franny 762, what is your name? Opinions divided on that. All sorts. In fact, we may hear from one of those producers who's shooting the Isle of Man in Ireland at the moment as to whether or not, and an opinion seems to be divided. Everybody has an opinion on the film industry. It did provide employment, training. I mean, a lot of the employment was casual as extras and runners and drivers, but it did provide money. It brought some very famous people to the Isle of Man. So we'll see. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. We'll try and find out more about that particular story later on. But any thoughts, by all means, get in touch. If you research the old Examiner before Douglas Breakwater was extended, the story by the Corrin family, a well-respected local fisherman, in the story they warned the government that if the proposed extension of the breakwater went ahead, then in years to come, the promenade would suffer from flooding. How right was he, says Pat. Well, it's built now and we're left with it. It's what to do with it, how to mitigate, isn't it? The corporation and government have historically removed all infrastructure that the Victorians put in place with inferior replacements, and now we're paying the price. Just my thoughts, says Jeff. Yes, well, you have to say that fencing on Douglas Promenade, the blue plastic coated fencing, is rusting very efficiently from within, isn't it? Douglas Beach has never been the same again. Text us 576. Douglas Beach has never been the same since they extended the breakwater. It used to be mostly sand all along. Now it's stones and gravel, says Elaine in Oncombe. And as that beach comes right up to the top around Central Promenade now, and it used to be, what, 9-10 steps down to the beach years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Just think what was used on the promenade reconstruction, hardcore, and the new services laid on sand. We had both on site on the beach. How much would have been saved and dropped the beach to the normal level? Just saying. I think they may have had to desalinate it, though, which possibly might have cost more, but... Douglas Prom's a shambles, says Fred. I drove down Douglas Promenade at the weekend. Some parts of the prom are starting to subside or sink with water pooling in these areas. Also, the sand's blocking those stupid drains the DOI have insisted on. Somebody's going to be making lots of money out of this harebrained scheme, says Fred. And the story that Julian just spoke of is correct, but for it to succeed, you need a complete ban on trawling, which was imposed on that part of the coast for many miles. They also sunk old ships to create nurseries for breeding fish. Won't work here because of scallop fishing. Is there much scallop dredging in Douglas Bay? And the thought of sinking old hulks in Douglas Bay, but it's a thought, isn't it? Phil in Onken said, regarding the discussion about sea defences on Douglas Prom, I visited Ross-on-Sea in North Wales. There's a website showing the ongoing works between Ross-on-Sea and Llandudno. They've used rock armour to dissipate the sea, and on Ross Prom, they have installed concrete groins and pumped sand and water to create a beach, which is designated to prevent the sea from reaching the promenade walkway. They're also improving the promenade walkway, creating flower beds and play areas. It can be done. Thank you, Phil, in Onken on 764. This story about the sea terminal, about the promenade and what's going to happen with the heritage railways, and also about whether or not the film industry, whether or not you would welcome the film industry back on the art. Perhaps you were involved in the film industry. Maybe you made a few bob on the side as an extra. Maybe you enjoy looking at yourself in films. But we did have some big stars. Peter Fonda. Do you remember Thomas and the Magic Railroad was here? Peter Fonda. Madonna was here. Helena Bonham Carter. John Hannah. They were all here. John Malkovich. Well, we'll see. Morale amongst bus and heritage rail workers on the Isle of Man is at rock bottom. That's not them saying that. That's the minister, the infrastructure minister, Chris Thomas, MHK. But Chris Thomas has disputed claims that the DOI is trying to get rid of heritage rail. Do you remember Charles Gard said there was a battle of roads versus rail within infrastructure? Chris Thomas, MHK, says he wants the Manx government and charitable organisations to be on the same side.
Practical thing number one, can any of our railways ever be used for commuter traffic? That's a simple question that we'll ask rail consultants to tell us. Some people tell me you have to have the same number of people living at either end of the rail line, and you have to have people living along the rail line for them to be used as commuter traffic. The as you know, the horse tram tracks down to the memorial are set up to actually run with the electric trams, are at the right weight and everything, the right distance apart to actually take commuter traffic. We need to establish whether that's the case. Second point, we need to actually establish whether or not having them in a foundation will be helpful to maintain and secure their future or not helpful. That's a practical question. The most important thing I want to leave you with is that morale amongst the people who work in buses and heritage rail is rock bottom. For the first time, government's commissioned a public health-led wellbeing survey, and I'm going to be presenting, the experts are going to be presenting back with me there and with the trade union there in the next couple of weeks, because it's rock bottom morale amongst the workforce in those areas. The charitable trust in the Isle of Man, the wonderful charitable trust in this space, are beginning to meet me, having first meetings next week with some of them. I want us by the end of this interview and in the next few weeks to all be on the same side, because we all care about our heritage rail, and the question is about how we secure it, and actually suggesting that DOI is trying to get rid of it in some way is unhelpful.
Chris Thomas, MHK. There he is, the Minister, Infrastructure, the people responsible for the trams, for public transport in general. So at the moment, the tram tracks, the horse tram tracks, he said, to Castle Mona Avenue, are suitable for modern trams. I wonder if that includes that chicane as you come towards Castle Mona. So if the horse tram tracks are going to go from Castlemona Avenue to the sea terminal, you just wonder whether modern trams could run on what at the moment is, well, weeds. Just a patch of weeds, a wilding patch at the moment where they say the tram tracks are going to go. Because you couldn't get out both sides, you would only be able to exit one side. But all that aside, as Chris Thomas says, they're going to have rail experts tell them whether or not we can, whether the tram tracks can be used for commuter trams. Now, this may tie into the green future, the climate change future on the Isle of Man, because taking private cars off the road will only work, surely, if there is an efficient and regular source of public transport that is climate friendly. And electric trams, well, they are climate friendly. And you can get a lot of people on a tram. Perhaps if you can get 80 people on a two-carriage tram, that will take potentially 80 vehicles off the road, save 160 return journeys, which will be a good thing in terms of the green future. So what are we going to do with this? Would that mean we could have modern trams between Ramsey and Douglas? Could you put trams on the line between Port Erin and Douglas? And is there any possibility of putting the line back between Douglas and Peel and running trams on there? Just imagine, hypothetically in the future, electric trams running from Douglas to Peel from first thing in the morning to, say, midnight, automatically, computer-controlled, don't need a driver, don't need a conductor, CCTV everywhere, and you could go for a night out in Peel from Douglas or vice versa on an automatic tram. Well lit, warm, comfortable, regular. Very climate change friendly. So is that going to be the future? Comes the question, how much is it going to cost, Andy? Hundreds of millions of pounds. It will cost hundreds of millions of pounds to get something like that up and running. No doubt about it. If we pay £75 million for a sea terminal in Liverpool, then it's going to cost money. Real money. And would it be climate change friendly? Well, no doubt the experts will tell us. I'd love your thoughts on the matter. I'd love to see where you stand on this and whether or not the heritage rail infrastructure left to us, bequeathed to us by the Victorians, may indeed be our salvation for a green future and provide us with a light rail commuter system on the Isle of Man. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, call 661368, and of course you can WhatsApp on 166177. David's correct, says Texter 557. Huge boulders will destroy the beautiful sweep of Douglas Bay. Older photos show how the level of the beach was many feet below. A note in from, this is 485 regarding, oh, this is regarding diesel. I put some diesel in on Saturday and the fuel gauge didn't move. I drove to Douglas. Does anybody know what happened to that £26 million that went missing from the film industry? Kate Costain, MHK, did ask but got no answer. Well, it will be lovely to get to the bottom of all that and to find out what is truth, what is hearsay, and what is rumour. But did the film industry do the Isle of Man any good, as far as you're concerned? Lots of films were made over here. The VAT formula that was involved in changed, and we were one of the first in. The Isle of Man Film Commission gave tax breaks to people over here. I think they also put money in as long as, I think it was something like 40% of the primary shoot was done on the Isle of Man. Then there was a tax break involved and lots of films were made here. And money did drop. Lots of the hotels put up film crews for months on end. I just wonder what your take is. There may be people who have moved here in the past 5-10 years who just say, there was a film industry on the Isle of Man. Oh, there was. Oh, Julian's back. Hi, Julian.
It's not. You keep getting us mixed up.
Oh, Juan, sorry about that.
It's the other one of Wint's regulars. See, oh. perhaps the new seawall and the boulders, you think that might be to stop the refugees coming in?
We could call it Manannan's Golf Course, couldn't we?
Oh, I tell you what. Now, the political statement of the week last week must have been Alf Cannon with the... What was that statement? To make an omelette, we have to break eggs?
That's right, the Isle of Man omelette.
The Isle of Man omelette. He needs to hurry up because I believe Witherspoons have just taken eggs off the menu. So if he needs to make this omelette, he'd better get a shove on because it'll be a vegan one very soon.
Well, let's hope there's no shortage of Manx eggs, I'm told.
Well, that's good. And that's the way it should stay. That's the way it should stay, shouldn't it? We've still got our farming and we've still got our eggs and our fish. Let's hope we can keep that. So I was talking yesterday and every time I come on here and then there's people go, what did you mean by this or what do you mean by that? I mean, this programme has got such a massive following, I think, Andy. I think you've got a winner with this programme. I definitely think we should be doing 2 hours. Just think of what we could achieve in 2 hours. They were talking about the freedom of speech yesterday. I was saying about secondary law and primary law, and I understand where Jane's trying to come from with what's been put in front of her, but where I was coming from with secondary law is the definition of free speech. This is the thing. I mean, today we're sitting here talking about anything we want to, and as long as we're not harming anyone within common law, that's great. But in a year's time, what would happen if they turn around and says, "Oh, you know what David said earlier on is hateful"? It's very open ended, isn't it?
Well, I mean, language moves and people's attitudes move. There are certain things we can talk about nowadays that we wouldn't have been able to talk about 40, 50 years ago, and vice versa. Some things you don't say nowadays that were common parlance 50 years ago.
This is very true, and I think we're in a Gutenberg press moment at the moment. I mean, when that came out, there was a whole change on what information people had. And I think we're going through that now with the internet, you know, with information out there and, you know, finding out what's the truth and what's not. And on the freedom of speech thing, I don't know, it's a question you might be able to answer. I was searching last week. I heard a trailer for it on this programme for Phil Gorn interviewing Courtney Heddening. And I believe that seems to have not been aired. What's happened with that?
I think it's available as a podcast now.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it? That would be the full version or the abridged version?
I don't know. Phil Gorn's in charge of that programme.
Right. Okay. All right. I shall have a listen for that. The other point I was making as well was the money that's getting spent on the COVID-19 report and the depth that it's going into. And the point I was trying to get to with that was, you know, if the government is paying a person to do the review, again, in fairness, would that be a fair review? I mean, a lot of questions are now being asked about, you know, the problems that we're having with children and speech difficulties and all sorts of things which has come around from the overreach of government. So would we get a fair review, do you think, if the KC was getting paid by the government, who you're actually part of the investigation?
Well, we never know, do we? Because, as you point out, some people... Well, it depends what view you take of a review and of an investigation, whether or not the person who's paying the review wants a particular outcome to the review or whether they genuinely want an even-handed response to whatever situation it is. And the truth is that nobody quite knows, but everybody has an opinion.
Yeah, they do. And it's like peer-reviewed papers. You know, you can go to whatever you want to get your paper reviewed, you can go to a certain person and get it reviewed. So when people come on and say about peer-reviewed papers, it kind of, it sounds great, but not necessarily getting the truth out of something again. Just my little bit for today. I'm going to go out and enjoy the beautiful blue sky outside, and I just thought I'd come in and just pick them points up.
Appreciate it, Joe, and thanks for calling.
See you, Andy.
All right. So what was the film that Rutger Hauer made in Peel years ago? Somebody just emailed in. It's gone completely out of my head. Rutger Hauer was in a film that was set in Peel. Anybody know?
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861-271.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Office World at Spring Valley. The island's largest one-stop stationery shop, including an unrivaled selection of whiteboards, cork and novelty notice boards for home or office, and a full range of really useful storage boxes, including the latest neon colour collections. At Office World, we have thousands of your favourite stationery items, including the largest selection of printer inks in stock on island. Office World at Spring Valley. See Facebook for our latest offers.
Office World!
Interested in a degree or postgraduate qualification? University College Isle of Man is holding its higher education open evening on Thursday, 1st December, between 4:30 and 7 p.m. Visit our nonary campus to learn about our range of degrees, degree level courses, and postgraduate qualifications. With 87% of students getting a top grade, you'll get a high quality education and excellent support without the costs of an off-island education. Visit ucm.ac.im for more information.
Do you have a passion and understanding of the role of public service media in our community? Are you well versed in the main issues and challenges facing broadcasters today? Do you have a clear understanding of the needs of the Isle of Man audience? We are seeking to appoint an additional trustee to sit on the new Manx Radio Board of Trustees together with the existing non-executive directors of the company. The candidate appointed is likely to have experience, skills and expertise that is relevant to the activities carried out by Manx Radio. If you would like to explore this opportunity further, please head to the Manx Radio website, click on About Us and then click on Vacancies. Good luck.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
21 minutes before one. Was it called Mysteries? Sylvia Christel, you remember Sylvia Christel, was in that film. If you can tell us, then by all means, get in touch. You see, the Isle of Man film industry, many years ago, says Fred, again, when there was talk about the promenade and the quayside being regenerated, there was talk of putting the horse trams right to the steam railway station, everything linked in. I remember that being mooted at the time, the horse trams going from the sea terminal down North Quay to the steam railway station. But nothing ever came of that. The sunken garden walls are being repaired now and the children's playground has been removed. It's grassed over, says John. What happened to all the stuff on there, I wonder? Hey, Wilf, how are you?
All right, I think. I haven't surfaced properly yet today. You remember me coming on a while ago, and then a year ago at least, about telling them what to do with Douglas Prom with the rocks getting flung over?
Yeah.
Which is take the stuff away. Let people take the cobbles away and lower the height of the beach. Now, that's a way. That's the only way I can see of doing it, unless you're going to build this stupid wall on top of it. You keep lifting the wall up instead of digging the stuff away from under it and putting the wall back the way it was. The only thing I've just had a thought now is that anywhere along Douglas Prom that machines and lorries could get anywhere near the beach to take the stuff away.
I'm trying to think.
I couldn't think of anywhere.
There is a ramp that goes down to the beach at the northern end, I think by the bottom of Summer Hill.
Right, but that's a long way from where they want to take the thing away, the stuff away from, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they're going to have
down
to...
Down the other end they want to take it away from, down the south end.
Hmm. So, just run that by them. For new listeners, start here. The solution to Douglas Beach is to let people take the rocks away themselves.
Well, I think they, I don't. If they can't get to it, I don't see how they're going to do it. But that is the solution, is to take away the stuff from the bottom of the wall to put the wall back to the height it used to be. And that'll stop the rocks getting flung over.
Well, bearing in mind, I mean, you can never beat nature, Wilf. Nature is always going to win. So is the Douglas...
It will build up again,
yeah, but
it'll take a long time.
Is the Douglas Breakwater the villain of the piece in all this?
That's the one, but you can't do nothing about that. That's there forever. And that was put there to shelter the ships coming in. But what it's done is took away what they call the longshore drift. And that took the cobbles and everything away along the beach. Now they're coming straight in. There is no longshore drift anymore. It comes straight in and piles it up. And that's the way it's going to do. It's going to carry on doing that.
And wouldn't groins help that? Wouldn't groins stop that or slow it down?
No, it won't do anything. Just a waste of money and time. That won't do anything.
So they were right. They were right to take the groins away, do you think?
Well, it doesn't matter whether they're there or not there, because they're buried under the ground, aren't they? Under the sand. They were put there to save the sand for the visitors. But we didn't have the breakwater.
Okay.
That was to stop the longshore drift.
Yeah.
To save the sand getting washed down the other end. Now it doesn't get washed anywhere, it just gets buried under cobbles.
Okay. All right, Wilf, thanks for that.
All right.
Appreciate it. 17 minutes to one. We did invent the stabbit, though, didn't we? The concrete stabbit. Douglas Beach should have been lowered during lockdown. All the huge loading shovel diggers used in the quarry should have been used while the building trade was at a standstill. The prom stinks a lot of the time. So what's going on for it to smell like that? The gaps between the stones are full of rotting seaweed and whey from the whey pipe, says Alex. I use super unleaded fuel. Recently I've had spark plugs replaced at considerable cost. I wonder what's happening with the fuel. So I just wonder whether that's now half a dozen people who've said they've had dirty spark plugs because of using a particular type of fuel. A new study, Texter 223 says, Andy, a new study led by Arizona State University ecologist Greg Asner suggests that very large wrecks can serve as havens for reef-building corals, which are as diverse as corals found on neighbouring natural reefs. Large artificial reefs could protect coral diversity from warming surface waters. The study was published in a journal called Diversity. These man-made artificial reefs are now recognised as the most effective way to protect and increase fish stocks and now being followed worldwide. Texter 223. Why did we spend all that money making Liverpool Dock look lovely? Just look at the state of our sea terminal. We need a full review, said... Oh, not another review, Roy. Don't you like the sea terminal? I quite like the sea terminal. Apparently, there's one just like it on the Black Sea coast. Somebody came over here in the 70s from the old Soviet Union, saw it, and apparently there's one. They must have got the design from somewhere, including lemon squeezer on the top. The monorail from Douglas to Peel, you could still walk and cycle underneath it and go over the roads at Moraun. A monorail, that would be even more expensive. The most effective placement for wave attenuation by seagrass is a mean seabed depth of 1.5 metres, so wouldn't be anywhere near the movement of trawlers. Can anybody tell me what the latest figure on COVID is? It's not so long ago that our lives were being dictated by COVID and people actually were sent to prison. Now nothing. No figures, no R rating, just nothing. I'd just like to know, said Jeff. Well, the government say they're not publishing statistics. There was supposed to be a weekly review of COVID. As yet, we've not heard much, but we can put the question in. Just to see. Des said, where'd you get the idea electricity is the greatest energy? Oh, the greenest energy. Where will you get the power from? Wind farms or solar? Says Des. I don't think we'll be running steam trains, Des. filmmakers were ripped off by people cashing in on them. I spoke to several famous actors and it was a sticking point. A quick buck made us look terrible, says Daniel. Everybody's saying that it was a film called Mysteries. Apparently, it was, and I think I can use this word, if you forgive me, if you cover your ears, it was soft porn. The Rutger Hauer and Sylvia Christel film made, it was shot at the Craigmallin. It's changed now, hasn't it? Shot at the Craigmallin in Peel. Mysteries starring Rutger Hauer. There were many famous people on the Isle of Man during the film industry. Do you miss them?
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
That ready for Christmas feeling. It's when you know those special bottles for the main event have been carefully selected and stored. Buy now at ShopRite and WineRite, and you'll save a packet into the bargain. Like selected Sainsbury's Taste the Difference wines with a 25% discount. And multi-buy offers on a great range of wine and beer. Buy now and be sure you have it at ShopRite and WineRite. Proudly locally owned.
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitz Unsworth Limited on 677 888 or email reception at advocates.co.im.
Tonight on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
We hear from some of the prize winners from the annual Chrysanthemum Show that was held in Castletown last week.
And I find out more about the Manx Gourmet Mushroom Farmer Project, which is slowly getting underway and producing some great quality mushrooms.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
11 minutes before one, just a quick reminder, if you're in Peel or have an interest in the East Quay Regeneration Scheme, there is a public meeting tonight at the Corran Hall in Peel discussing the East Quay project. DOI is holding this public meeting. The Minister, Chris Thomas, is going to be there, and his officers will be presenting what they're doing and answer any questions on the project. Starts early, 5 o'clock tonight, on from 5 till 7. So you may want to zip along there at the Corran Hall in Peel, the East Quay Project, a public meeting on the East Quay Regeneration Scheme on tonight. And a cheeky one in from, this is Josette. Hi, Josette, who just says, I'm running a charity raffle before Christmas. Can I have some Man in Line tea towels, please, for prizes? Josette, for cheek, yes, you can have two Man in Line tea towels, and make sure they're prominently placed for your raffle for your charity for Christmas. And before I get inundated, yes, we will. If you want to tell me about your charity, if you are holding a raffle before Christmas, we have a limited number of Man in Line tea towels that may be available for prizes. What's happened to all the bin men in Douglas, says Hilary C? They used to work every day of the week. Now the bins are only every 2 weeks. Have there been redundancies to save money? Have they been allocated to street cleaning? Is it saving money at all? Are the bin men still employed, says Hilary? To be quite honest, we don't know. But there is still that open invitation for leading councillors of Douglas City Council to come on Man in Line just to talk about that and anything else that's concerning Douglas City Council at the moment. They are more than welcome to come on Man in Line. I see many overhanging branches have been cut on our main roads, but why have the DOI not addressed the ivy, which is too heavy, and the ivy will bring down The branches, says this texter, this is 775. Let's just pretend we have a green world and that we've got rid of all the petrol and diesel cars, no road tax income from the roads and the pavements. Who is going to pay? Texter 175. Oh, I'll tell you. They're introducing road tax for electric vehicles in the UK, so surely it can't be far behind. You didn't think you were going, you seriously didn't think you were going to get away with that nice heavy electric vehicle paying no road tax? My word. Surely. I've been informed, says this correspondent, this is Eleanor, who just said, I've been informed by Loganair that they will only offer assistance to people in wheelchairs. Therefore, they won't assist my brother, who has a learning disability. They won't help him through security, on and off the plane, and collect his luggage. EasyJet always helped him, and I'm at a loss to understand why this discrimination, which is no doubt it is discrimination, why is it allowed to continue? I emailed Loganair, but they've not replied. Is it allowed on the island? Sorry, it's a bit of a rant. I'm fuming. I'm coming to the island tomorrow and will try and contact them personally. Is this true? Loganair will only offer assistance to people in wheelchairs, and if somebody is disabled otherwise, then they're on their own. Do you remember Waking Ned Divine? Me and Orson Welles? Mindhorn? Stormbreaker? Just a few of the movies and TV shows filmed in part on the Isle of Man. That is, at least before financial incentives changed and COVID struck. We have our own filmmakers on the Isle of Man, but what does it take to bring the film and television industry back to the Isle of Man?
Dave Moseley is an executive producer on upcoming documentary Man to Dakar, all about Manx enduro motorbike rider Dave Knight, or Knighter as he's perhaps better known, and his journey to the infamously tough Dakar races. I was told it was a grueling feat to compete and another to film and finance as well.
We had cameras there capturing the activity all throughout, and the project, sponsored by some local businessmen, was made possible by their efforts. Actually, the original sponsor dropped out, just literally walked away, and he was left high and dry, and two people stepped in, put considerable funds behind the project. Knighter went out there, competed, we filmed the entire thing remotely, because nobody could travel, so we had to have cameras there with people who were there. We're filming on the Isle of Man, but we also have to film off the Isle of Man, because the thing is being put together with international tax credits.
Looking back, there was quite a lot of filming, wasn't there, done here on the Isle of Man? But that seems to have dipped off. I mean, is that due to COVID or, like you say, financial incentives, really?
Yeah, really, the Isle of Man is well known. It's co-financed over 100 feature films. And despite there being a lot of talk about things and in ways of some of them not being successful, the overall contribution to the Exchequer, which was demonstrated by a third-party report commissioned by the government, produced well in excess of £300 million for the Exchequer. However, there were some notable exceptions to the successes, and the thing basically fell into abeyance as the laws or the rules between the UK and the Isle of Man changed to with the VAT. VAT mechanism was the one whereby the Isle of Man benefited more from this. However, there's been a period of lull. A lot of filmmakers are coming to the island, are pleasantly surprised by the variety of locations here and so on. And gradually, we're beginning to get more of a headway in productions occurring on the island, but there's still no specific incentive, and we're trying to find a mechanism which will reignite the film industry and production on the Isle of Man.
Okay, who was the most famous person that you met when they used to make films on the Isle of Man? Did you spend time with any of the famous people who came to the Isle of Man? Did you enjoy that? Do you think they enhanced the Isle of Man? Or aren't you impressed by famous people? Do get in touch. It would be nice to know whether or what the upswell of interest is on getting that back on the Isle of Man. Why don't they dig out the beach on Central Promenade and dump it at Kirk Michael to slow down coastal erosion, says Gemma. Need a lot of lorries, wouldn't you? It wasn't one flew over the kipper's nest, by the way, at Peel. No, it was. They're saying it's called Mysteries. Mr. Thomas says Morales rock bottom at Isle of Man Transport But doesn't he think that's because it's due to the public's loss of faith in DIY? Everything it's done has failed. Well, I don't think everything they've done. Sea Terminal in Liverpool, airport issues, Douglas Prom, footbridge at Nobles Park. We need to get to the basics right and start showing that they can actually deliver for the future. Just a quick note in from Rob, who messaged me and just said, I'm reporting from the Birmingham NEC. There's no Isle of Man TT stand. The suits from the government were coming over on the plane yesterday, but there isn't a stand. Is that true? Hooray for the Black Dub, who have a stand. Manx Rob at the NEC. Thank you, Rob. Send us a photo. Did we get anywhere with the inquiry about whether children over the age of 5 are entitled to free dental care, even though there's no NHS dentist available, please? So we put the question in and we'll follow it. Remember, live tomorrow, Claire Barber, DEFA Minister.
WINT.